हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 15. Jiva Goswami concerns himself in this section with the conditions of correct knowledge and the means of receiving this knowledge. How, in general, can human beings arrive at a proper understanding of reality? He argues convincingly for the supreme, self-evident authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This done, the Bhagavatam itself acts as the prime source of verification and remains so for the rest of the Sandarbhas. The second means because you have to have authority, you have to have where knowledge is from. So that's from Shastra. Shabda is the main thing. And of Shastra, then we see that the Bhagavatam is the most important. So then once you've established Bhagavatam as the, as the principal source of Shabda, then he's quoting from there for the rest of the Sandarbhas. The second half of Tattva Sandarbha, the Pramaya Khanda, ascertains the general nature of the Supreme Truth, or Tattva, revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Pramaya means, quote, that which is knowable, end quote, or, quote, the objects of cognition, end quote. Beginning from text 29, it describes the nature of the external world, its relationship to the individual, and the metaphysical aspects of ultimate reality. Yeah. Okay, so we have the Mangalacharan, and once that's established, you know, so you understand what's happening and everything. Then Praman, what is authority, where that's gained from, because you have to be able to understand how things work, right? And so what is your source of knowledge? Once that's established, then what is knowable, then that is then being given the ontology, means is what is the framework of the philosophy. In other words, the first is what's the source of authority of the philosophy, and the second, what are the categories that are discussed within the philosophy. Okay? Yes.
Maharaj, what's about the idea that since Gaudiya Vaishnava took the Bhagavatam as a main book, and the other Sampradaya are not taking the Bhagavatam, so how can we say it is absolute knowledge according to... We can say it's according to Gaudiya Vaishnava, but not according to the other Sampradaya.
No, it's not according to the other Sampradayas, because they have a different... Means the goal of pleasing the Lord in pure devotion is the same.
Yes.
So there's not going to be any difference there. But that degree of fineness or subtlety that's there in that approach to the relationship between the Lord and His creation, then their approach is for attaining a different service and environment for expressing that pure devotion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So only Bhagavatam will get you to Braj.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And since that's our main concern, yes, we're not worried that others aren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Also, Jiva Goswami very systematically establishes first point, Bhagavatam as the essence of the Vedanta Sutra, mm-hmm, and the second one as the essence of even Mahabharata, because Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata after writing all the Puranas.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody accepts Mahabharata as the essence.
Mm.
And Bhagavatam is established containing the essence of even Mahabharata.
Mm.
So for even the Advaitavadis who have intelligence, they will accept, because Vedanta Sutra, it is essence of Vedanta Sutra, and even the Gayatri Mantra, and also Mahabharata. By that it is very, like nobody will argue after going through the Pramana.
Yes, if they go through, because the other Sampradayas do read this Sandarbha. Whether they read the others, but they read this one. So this aspect that it, in other words, it gives the essence of karma, it gives the essence of jnana. Right? And then, but in the context of pure devotion. So there's nothing left out in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in one book, you get everything. You know? So Adhyaya 1. Yes, no, but the Adhyaya is the... But it's just the Mangalacharan.
Yes.
That's the first Adhyaya. Then the Pramana Khanda is the second Adhyaya.
Look, in the introduction we put three parts, three sections in Mangalacharan, Pramana Khanda and Pramaya Khanda.
So this is not... Oh, so there's more to it. This is not the whole thing. This is just the...
Yeah, this is just the first part. Only Adhyaya 1. Two more books will be like this.
Okay.
For the whole Tattva Sandarbha.
Adhyaya 1 is the Mangalacharan. And then Adhyaya 2 is Pramana. Adhyaya 3 is the Prameya. Okay. Anuchedas 1 through 8. Adhyaya 1, summary. Adhikarana 1, Vastu Nirdesha and Namaskara. Anuchedas 1 and 2, Adhikarana 2, Ashirvada, Anuchedas 3 through 5, and Adhikarana 3, Anubandha Chatushtaya, Anuchedas 6 through 8. So, what in Vedanta Sutra is called Adhikaranas, here it's called Anuchedas. Basically, no?
Not like that,
no?
It's not an Adhikarana itself, so this is defined as a text only, Anucheda, by... No, with Balaya Vidyabhushan and all. It's because sometimes it's not one Adhikarana will not be one Anucheda. There will be more.
So an Anucheda is just a single verse?
It may be a group of verses also. I mean, he won't explain something.
Oh, but they're saying one thing, but it's not necessarily that Anucheda completes an Adhikarana.
Yes, I asked Banu Maharaj also when he came. He also said Anuchedas are just like Bhagavatam texts, more or less, because sometimes they are explained in more than one Anuchedas, a particular concept.
Okay, it means even in Bhagavatam you have these big verses that are all put together. Okay, so that would be considered an Anucheda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's breaking it up by the point being made.
Yes.
Is there any distinction of Adhikaranas?
Adhikaranas are done by me. Basically, this categorization I did. Going to the Tattva Sandarbha is easier because Baladeva Vidyabhushan more or less,
he gives
in the introduction. Now that we go to the next section like that, based on that understanding, I made it to the Karna.
Okay, now I get it. So Anucheda is a verse, a group of verses that's making one specific point. Okay. Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika. The word Mangalacharan literally means an enactment of auspiciousness, usually in the form of a sanctifying poetic invocation. Literary tradition in India dictates that authors begin their serious works with one or more verses of Mangalacharan. The reasons for this convention are twofold. First, that such prayers help remove obstacles to assure the successful completion of a book. And second, that cultural authorities have set such a precedent. Right, and so there... Oh, no, that's me. Okay. From this. Okay. So by the invocation, then it means that the work will go nicely because you're taking blessings of authority, and so then the work will go nicely. And we see as others have done this in the past, so we're following that. As mentioned in the Govinda Bhashya Shukshma Tika 111, Nir Vignayi Tat Purtaye Shishtachara Pari Prapta Mangalam Acharati. Quote, to remove obstacles and assure the completion of a work, one should offer an auspicious invocation. following the precedent of the culture. End quote. Great authors used the Mangalacharna to summarize the book's message concisely and establish at the very onset an elevated level of discourse. Mm-hmm. Right, so you don't have to, because it's exactly known what it is, then you can just start off discussing it that. Otherwise, then you have to bring in the whole thing, you know, and then bring it to that. But when you know it's there, then that dialogue that you have can be much shorter.
Yes.
Right? Because you already know what it's about. Krishna, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after offering his Mangalacharan at the start of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, lists the purposes an invocation serves. Se Mangalacharana hoy tri vidha prakara vastu nirdesha ashirvada namaskara. Quote, the Mangalacharan may do three things: define the objective, offer benedictions, and offer obeisances. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 1:22. 1. Namaskritatmaka, paying obeisances to one's teachers, worshipable deity, or both. 2. Ashirvadatmaka, praying to the Lord for his blessings, bestowing blessings upon the readers, or exclaiming all glories to the Lord. 3. Vastu nirdeshatmaka, summarizing the subject matter of the book. The Mangalacharna will then go on to describe four essential elements of the work called Anubandha Chatushtaya, as described by Sri Kumarila Bhatta in his Shloka Vartika. Adikari cha sambandho vishayas cha prayojanam avashyam eva vaktavyam satradau cha chatushtayam. The introduction of a work must delineate four items. 1. Adhikari, qualifications of the person who may study the book. That's why we see in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says, if you're not interested in pure devotion, put the book down. You're not qualified. 2. Sambandha, connection between the book and its subject. You know exactly what the book's going to bring out in connection with the subject. Because the subject is very vast, what part of that you're going to deal with, like that. Vishaya, the subject itself. And 4, prayojana, what the reader will gain by reading the book and following the path it prescribes. Mm-hmm. The purpose of delineating these four items is to create an interest in the mind of the reader or student, as Sri Kumarila Bhatta states in his Shloka Vartika 1.1.17. Siddhartam gyata sambandham shrotum pravartate shastradau tena vaktavya sambandha sa prayojanaha. Only after knowing the relation of the book with the subject matter, sambandha, and the purpose to be achieved, prayoja, is one aspired to study a book. Therefore, sambandha and prayojana must be stated at the opening. Right? Because that's how the mind works, thinking, feeling, then willing. So the thinking is there, the feeling is established, so therefore then the willing will. Does that make sense? As different qualifications are needed in achieving different goals, it is important to first establish the qualifications needed to study, adhikari, and the means of evaluation. By making clear the relationship, sambandha, between the book, the subject matter, the qualified student, and the goal, continuity and sequence is provided for the student to integrate what might otherwise appear as isolated learning experiences. One must see that the learning experiences of the subject, vishaya, bring about the attainment of the purpose, prayojana, the study seeks to attain. Right? So then it's also very clear in the mind of the author. Right? Yes. They're putting together a book, so it's very clear to them. Yes. So then that consistency will be kept throughout the work. Because right? Otherwise, some may just start off writing and all that. And there's a good chance when he started writing, then whoever wrote Finnegan's Wake probably didn't really know where it was going.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is they just start and just there's things and they put together and then something comes up and then they,
yes.
You know, they just, yeah. So here it's that in that opening, first in the whole Mangalacharan, that whole first verses, then it's very clear he's taking the blessings of his, you know, the Lord and his superiors, these things. And then he is showing exactly what the book is about. There's the subject, then there is how it connects with its subject, there is the who can qualify to study that, and then the goal. So because of the goal and because of the subject, that means it defines the student.
Yes.
Show me something. Like that. So, yeah, that's the whole point.
And with that system of presentation, only useful books can be written.
Yes, yes. That's why I mentioned in the beginning, only the serious authors, they would do this. Others wouldn't. So that means in the libraries, there's very few serious authors.
Yes.
It's
from our philosophical definition. This is taken from our philosophical definition.
Okay. Then, Adhikarna 1, Vastu Nirdesha Namaskara. Anuchetas 1 and 2. Adhikarna Prakashika. In the first Anucheta, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered as the Vastu Nirdesha, the subject of the treatise. By citing the particular verse, Srila Jiva indicates that Lord Sri Chaitanya is the subject of the Sandarbhas, and also establishes his position as the direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This opening verse has been explained in various ways. Thus, Jiva Goswami sought to define and fix this meaning in the second Anucheta, wherein he offers namaskar to his worshipable deity, Lord Chaitanya, and prays for his mercy. Anucheta 1. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. Chiefly through chanting, the intelligent people worship the Lord, black in color, but shining with brilliance, who is accompanied by his associates, weapons, and major and minor limbs. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Anucheta Prakashika. The Supreme Lord Vasudeva, having revealed Brahma Sutras and his commentary, Bhagavatam, then taught the Bhagavatam to Sukadeva. Desiring to clarify the meaning, Jiva invokes auspiciousness in this verse, which points out his object of worship, a cloud of treasured nectar, an axe for chopping mountains of opposing arguments. Being asked by King Nimi, Kartabhajana Yogi spoke about the avatar for Satyayuga, Treta-yuga, Dwapara-yuga, saying, hear about the avatar for Kali-yuga. He then spoke this verse. Sarva-samvadini, Jiva Goswami's commentary on the Sandarbhas. So, as we mentioned before, as you write the work, because it has all the information in it, and if you understand, and from that going through it, you will know all the things. Now then, to make it very clear, to make it easier, more accessible, then the Acharya might write a commentary on his own work.
Yes.
Right? Now, one may say, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you write it into just the work itself? There would be a few aspects. One is that you have the natural flow that's there. You want to make sure that that logic that's there is delineated. Then, according to the positions, you add commentary. Some places need more explanation, some less. Right? And so, it may not be clear in a work what are actually the main points, because when you use this modern context, style where you just write it in, who would know what are the actual main sentences or paragraphs in a whole work? And how much of it is just elaboration? You wouldn't know. And guaranteed, in the literary field, in the modern thing, when they're writing, no one even endeavors to know this. It's not something that they care about. Because then you have to know conclusion.
Yes.
If you just want to speculate, it's just you have your thing and you throw out these things, and as long as the experience is speculative,
yes,
people are good. Right? Now, here's another aspect. Is now in writing it down, now you know the subject matter. So you can write the essence very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, then you go back and try to fill out, okay, what does it take to get others to understand this?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, if you're not doing that, you're trying to write it all at once, you may get distracted in it and not necessarily be able to keep a clear vision on where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's another aspect. And then another one would be is now, let us say you want to know this work. Right? So you study it along with the commentaries. But once you know it, now if you want to review, you only have to read the work, not the commentaries.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You know, so if the Sandarbhas themselves, you know, are, you know, with the commentaries, you know, somewhat big, but the Sandarbhas without the commentary aren't, you're willing to carry around that and read it on a regular basis. But the whole thing you may or may not do. You understand? So it is a tradition, though it's not done in the modern context, and those from modern academic backgrounds many times don't understand this or appreciate it. But the fortunate thing is the Vedic culture stands on its own glory and actually needs no, how you say, verification by others. That's the glory.
Can we say that this it is similar to like to study from beginning till end and after the thematic study?
Well, no.
But the result can be the same.
Yes, means if you do like that and you go through, you'll get that. So just when they write these kind, that'll help with that. But still, you'd go and check like this.
Yes.
But that's why we see is that it itself is a thematic study.
Mm.
Right? So then to be able to understand what exactly the themes are in that. So you'll see is that the Dasamul is the theme. So to be able to appreciate that and all that, then you go through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, this has been written in the Nyaya Prasthan, so it'll basically have that. But it doesn't mean that you can't put it together because you are building.
Yes.
Like that. But once you know, then you can connect things together that you wouldn't necessarily do. You know, it's just like in Gita, things will be introduced in the third chapter, then again in the fourth, and in the fifth. Then there'll be some in the last chapters. But you could take all those points and put them together in one place and understand it once you've gone through the whole book.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Briti. So, where is the... So the fully out is his stuff.
Yeah. Actually, this is also he only explains, but in order to put it in like second person, that he is offering obeisances and all. So I wrote in the form of Riti.
But this is Jiva Goswami speaking, or this is us speaking?
Us speaking that how he is offering obeisances, how he is starting his commentary by offering obeisances to.
And then when he say beginning this book. That's
Jiva Goswami. Because Vritti, we put it in a smaller...
Okay. But this is taken from what he's saying.
What he offered obeisances.
Okay. And this first one is what we're saying, or is what he's saying?
What we are saying, just like you asked me to make it clear, who is speaking.
Okay, so that's Vritti. There. That's nice. But then this here, this can go back out.
Okay.
You know, so then all the in, so like here you have Srila Prabhupada comments, then it goes in again. So all these ones that are out, this is him.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So then you could do that with this one also.
Okay, the Vritti also.
Means the part where we're saying,
okay,
that you leave like this, and it says Vritti, but the
it's
rest of it
the
you
first,
can...
It's only in the beginning, because
the... Oh, the rest of it...
That doesn't
come up. Okay.
Because to keep it in that... How? Because he's offering obeisances, just to make it clear.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying we're explaining it in that first paragraph, but that second paragraph, if that's him, then that can go out into the regular line. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Vritti, Jiva Goswami begins his commentary by offering respects to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer respects to the moon of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Having offered respects to Sri Krishna, I make this commentary on the Sandarbhas called Sarva Sambhadani, that which harmonizes everything, right? Because the harmonization is what's important. Just having facts and knowledge and memorizing things is not actually considered real knowledge. It's knowledge, of course, but it's not real knowledge. Real knowledge is being able to harmonize these things between all these aspects of knowledge and see it all in connection with the Lord. Beginning of this book named Bhagavat Sandarbha, the author praises the Supreme Lord named Krishna Chaitanya. Oh, I see. So then That's us speaking again. Okay, so that's why you're doing like this.
There's a footnote.
Okay. Footnote 6. This designates all Sandarbha. So when you say Bhagavat Sandarbha, that means all of them. But at the same time, there is one called Bhagavat Sandarbha, right?
Yeah, it comes afterwards that actually Gopal Bhatta Goswami first put it together, then Jiva Goswami categorized and made it much more systematic.
Okay.
That's why he started with the name Bhagavat Sandarbha, because it was together, then Jiva Goswami made it into separate parts.
Oh, so he broke it, made it into six instead of, okay. Okay, so originally it was one Sandarbha, and then he made it into six. Okay, it's like the one Veda, and then it was made into four. The author praises the Supreme Lord named Krishna Chaitanya, the worshipable deity of thousands of sampradayas following him, who is a thousand Gangas filled with nectar of rare prema directed to Bhagavan Krishna's lotus feet, which are non-different from the surup of Bhagavan. Prema, which spread when he appeared as avatar, and whose form as Bhagavan was confirmed by the version of millions of great devotees internally and externally. So you say, you know, thousands of sampradayas means all anything coming from him, all the lines, because you have the things where the Lord deals with somebody, then all those lines that come from him you can say, but we're going to keep, so that's why we're following Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
So we're all Gaudiyas, and it's all in that line, but you're just saying that any continuation that's going is there.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Also, yeah. He offers praise through information contained in a verse from Bhagavatam, which particularly indicates the avatar to be worshipped by devotees in this Kali Yuga. This verse concerning the form of the Lord to be worshipped in Kali Yuga appears in the 11th canto. The intelligent people of Kali Yuga worship this person who is golden, Akrishnam, by his complexion, Tvisha. His golden complexion is described elsewhere. Asan Varnas Trayo Yasya Grinato Nu Yugam Tanu Shuklo Raktas Tatapita Idanim Krishnatam Gataha. Your son, Krishna, appeared in various yugas with three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.13. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Particularly explaining the position of Lord Krishna and partially covering the facts, Gargamuni indicated, quote, your son is a great personality, and he can change the color of his body in different ages, end quote. The word grinataha indicates that Krishna is free to make his choice. In other words, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and may therefore do whatever he desires. In Vedic literature, the different colors assumed by the personality of Godhead in different millenniums are stated. And therefore, when Gargamuni said, your son has assumed these colors, he indirectly said he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Because of Kamsa's atrocities, Gargamuni tried to avoid disclosing this fact. But he indirectly informed Nanda Maharaj that Krishna, his son, was the supreme personality of Godhead. It may be noted that Srila Jiva Goswami, in his work, Krama Sandarbha, has enunciated the purport of this verse. In every millennium, Krishna appears in a different form, either as white, red, or yellow. But this time, he personally appeared in his original blackish form and, as predicted by Gargamuni, exhibited the power of Narayana. Because in this form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibits himself fully. His name is Sri Krishna, the all-attractive. Factually, Krishna is the source of all avatars, and therefore all the different features of the different avatars are present in Krishna. When Krishna incarnates, all the features of other incarnations are already present within him. Other incarnations are partial representations of Krishna, who is the full-fledged incarnation of the Supreme Being. It is to be understood that the Supreme Being, whether appearing as Shukla, Rakta, or Pita, white, red, or yellow, is the same person. When he appears in different incarnations, he appears in different colors, just like the sunshine, which contains seven colors. Sometimes the colors of sunshine are represented separately. Otherwise, the sunshine is observed mainly as bright light. The different avatars, such as the Manvantar avatars, Lila avatars, and Das avatars, are all included in the Krishna avatar. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear with him, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26. Avatara yashankyeya Hare Sattva Nidher Dvija Yata Vidha Shina Kulya Sarasasu Sahasrasaha. The avatars incessantly appear, like incessantly flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in floating water. And similarly, there are no limitation of the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars because he is the source of all avatars. Krishna is Amsi, whereas others are Amsa, part of Krishna. All living entities, including us, are Amsas. Mamaivamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Bhagavad Gita 5:15-7. These Amsas are of different magnitude. Human beings who are minute Amsas, and the demigods, Vishnu Tattva, and all other living entities are all part of the Supreme. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Kattu Upanishad 2:2-13. Krishna is the full representation of all living entities. And when Krishna is present, all avatars are included in him. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the incarnations for each yuga in chronological order. The Bhagavatam says, Krite shuklas chatur bahu tretayam rakta varno sao dvapare bhagavan shyama krishna varnam trisha krishnam. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5-32. We actually see that in Kali Yuga, Bhagavan has appeared in Pitavarna, or yellow color, as Gaurasundara, although the Bhagavatam speaks of Krishnavarnam. To adjust all these statements, one should understand that although in some yugas some of the colors are prominent, in every yuga, however, Krishna appears, all the colors are present. Krishnavarnam Tvisha Krishnam, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna, or a blackish color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. Idanim Krishnatam Gataha. The same original Krishna who appears in different varnas has now appeared. The word asan indicates that he is always present. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in his full feature, he is understood to be Krishna Varnam, although he appears in different colors. Prahlad Maharaj states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa, that is, although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellowish color. So he is Krishna. But these other colors are there. Just Krishna is all the avatars, so all of that, his, that color, they're all Krishna. What's it? That's the word he is. Krishna Varna. Because they're all Krishna. But then, depending upon his pastime, he'll be covered by different colors. Mm-hmm. You know, just for that pastime. Thus, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the conclusion that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Pita color, he is Krishna. Thus, the verse in the 11th canto confirms what is stated in 10th canto. Since the 10th canto verse speaks of the avatar appearing in Dvapara Yuga as Krishna, and the 11th canto verse states that Shukla appeared in Satya Yuga and Rakta appeared in Treta Yuga, the yellow avatar mentioned as by Garga is the form of Chaitanya who appeared in a previous day of Brahma. Since the past tense is used, right? So you can also say, that's another aspect of, if you want to take the Somani Sampradayas, because in every yuga, every Kali Yuga is appearing, and so therefore there'll be so many lines coming down from him. Right? And that's just what we're dealing with in this universe. Right? So, unlimited Sampradayas.
Even Maharaj, in the Stala Purana, it is stated that Lord Venkateshwara Balaji is also Kali Yuga avatar.
Oh, okay.
So, some other name.
Yeah. Thus, the verse in 11. Okay. The 11th canto describes Krishna with Shyama complexion, with qualities of a great king, and having the Chaturvyuha as the form to be worshipped in Dvapara Yuga. Dvapare Bhagavan Shyama Pita Vasa Nijayudha Sri Vatsad Dibhir Ankaischa Lakshaner Upalakshitaha. In Dvapara Yuga, the Supreme Lord with a dark blue complexion, wearing yellow garments, is marked with Sri Vatsa and other distinctive ornaments and bodily features. Tam tada purusham martya Maharajo Palakshanam Yajanti Veda Tantrabhyam Param Jigyasavo Nripa. O King, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Lord worship Him in the mood of honoring a great king, following the prescriptions of both the Vedas and the Pancharatra scriptures. Namaste Vasudevaya Nama Sankarshanaya Cha Prajum Nayanirudhaya Tubhyam Bhagavate Namaha. Obeisances to you, Vasudeva, and to your forms of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.27-29. Shamshaya. So this is a doubt. Is it true that the Lord appears in a golden yellow color as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Kali Yuga? Purvapaksha. So now this is their explanation. It is not true because in Vishnu Dharma it said that the Lord appears in green color in Dwapara Yuga and blue, dark blue in Kali Yuga. Uttara. It should be understood that this description applies to Dwapara Yugas when Krishna himself does not incarnate as the Yuga Avatar. When Krishna appears, Gaura appears in the next Kali Yuga. This is the explanation. This means that, without doubt, Gaura is a special manifestation of Swayam Bhagavan himself. Does that make sense? Because he's saying here is that, Dharma, then it appears in Dwapara in green color, and dark blue in the Kali Yuga. So he sees because the Dwapara and the Treta are switched. Does that make sense? So then he comes and then the colors adjust around. But the point is, since Krishna comes, whenever Krishna himself as Avatari appears in Lord Chaitanya, he comes as Lord Chaitanya and appears in that way. This is what is described in Vishnu Dharmotra. Pratyaksha rupa drig devo drishyate na kalo hari kritadi shveva tenaiva triyuga paripatyate kaler ante cha sampa prapte kalinam brahmavadinam anu pravish yakurute vasudevo jagatstitim. The Lord is not directly visible in Kali Yuga. Thus the Lord is described as appearing in the three other ages. The end of Kali Yuga, Vasudev enters into Kali, into Kalki, among the Brahmavadis, and makes his residence in the world. So that's also then where you get that dark color.
Vishnu
Dharma. Yeah.
Both are the same, Vishnu Dharma and Vishnu Dharma, with the same Purana. Somebody who translated it into English, he made it like, he quoted the name Vishnu Dharma.
Vishnu Dharma.
Both refers to the same scripture.
Okay.
Ajahn Krishna.
Okay. The nature of his appearance is made explicit. Oh, wait a minute. Chaitanya supersedes the Kali Yuga form by having the unlimited powers of Krishna. Since it is shown that he inevitably appears at the beginning of Kali Yuga after Krishna's appearance. The nature of his appearance is made explicit by the description. He is in the category of Krishna, Krishna Varnam, or can be addressed by the two syllables, Varna, or two syllables, Varna, Krishna, to indicate that he is none other than Krishna. Right, so Krishna Varna means you can say he comes in the color of Krishna, or Krishna Varna means those two, Varna means syllables, and then therefore the two syllables Krishna can be used to describe him. Okay. Varna is used to indicate syllables, as in the following: Samahuta Bhishmaka Kanyaya Ye Shriya Saravarnaina Babhu Shayai Sham. The kings had assembled, attracted by the beauty of Rukmini, who can be equated with the syllables of the word Lakshmi, with a desire to take her as their bride. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.3.3. Sridhar Swami says, the two syllables Rukmi in Rukmini's name express the same meaning as Shri. Or Krishna Varnam can mean that Chaitanya describes Varnayati, Krishna. He also then speaks about Krishna. He sings about him under the influence of joy on remembering Krishna's pastimes of great bliss and teaches glorification of Krishna to all people by his great mercy. Or he teaches about Krishna by his excellent beauty of golden color. This means that by seeing Chaitanya of golden complexion, everyone has realization of Krishna. Or, although he is golden in complexion to everyone's vision, he is blackish, Shama Sundara, to special devotees in a particular manifestation, Trisha. In other words, Chaitanya is the direct avatar of Krishna himself because of manifesting the complete form of Krishna within himself. Whether Lord Vishnu appears as a Yuga avatar in Kali Yuga is sometimes a matter of controversy. Right? Because you have this thing is that he's hidden. So that means some are saying he doesn't appear, or generally if he does appear, I think in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, then it explains that he comes as, it's a Jiva. So it's a Shakti Vesh avatar, it's not a Vishnu. But we see Kalki is a Vishnu avatar. Right? And so then he comes at the end. But the point is that's not exactly, it means if it's just, you're just, the whole yuga is a write-off, and then you come at the end to kind of like, you know, all you can do is kill them to give them any benefit, right? But if you're going to actually uplift them, then you have to come in some way there, right? Footnote 7. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, perhaps the most famous example of this controversy is the argument that took place between Gopinath Acharya and his brother-in-law Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya upon Lord Chaitanya's arrival in Jagannath Puri. We are reprinting it here at length, for its contents mirror that of the Tattva-sandarbha to a great degree. Moreover, the dialogue provides application and context to our study. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Sri Krishna is a very good name, but he belongs to the Bharati community. Oh, so this is before Sarvabhauma has spoken to Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
So it says... Yeah. Yeah. So he's still a Mayavadi.
Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya comes, and then he becomes unconscious. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya takes him to his home. Okay. Then Gopinath Acharya comes to meet. So first this argument happens.
So this is happening before he actually discussed it. Because the other was Jiva Goswami learned from...
Madhusudan
Vachasa. Yeah. After he had taken up devotional service. Okay, so this is before... Okay. Sri Krishna is a very good name, but he belongs to the Bharati community. Therefore, he is a second-class sannyasi, right? Because when you're dealing in these externals, they very much go by the level. You know, even within the Brahmins who are supposed to be not worrying about this, from what I've understood in South, at least there's 4 levels of Brahmins. You know, so depending on what you're coming from, like I mentioned, you have that aspect, you're coming from the Bharadvaj, you know, like line and things like that, that puts you in the top. Therefore, he's a second-class sannyasi. I shall continually recite Vedanta philosophy before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that he may remain fixed in his renunciation and thus enter upon the path of monism. Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Dutta became very unhappy when they heard this. Gopinath Acharya therefore addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. My dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya retaliated. But what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Gopinath Acharya replied, the statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are proof. The disciples of the Bhattacharya said, we derive knowledge of the absolute truth by logical hypothesis. Right? So therefore by anuman, as opposed to the statements of the acharyas. Right, because they're all going to work on Shastra. But then we're going to go, the Shastra's there, then the comments of the Acharyas, that's what we're going to use. Well, here they're going to say, no, we hear from that, but then we derive it from our mental speculation.
Yes.
Gopinath Acharya replied, one cannot attain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such logical hypothesis and argument. If one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are a great scholar and a teacher of many disciples. Indeed, there is no other scholar like you on earth. Nonetheless, because you are bereft of even a pinch of the Lord's mercy, you cannot understand him, even though he is present in your home. It is not your fault. It is the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by scholarship. Right? So you can't say, though, he's bad at that. It's just, that's what Shastra says. You're not a devotee. You don't know him. So, you know, in that way, how you say? Yeah, it's not it. There may be, but that I know of, he's the Acharya. That I know of, he is the biggest Mayavadi scholar in India at that time. There is no one bigger. So we have to understand. So when Lord Chaitanya, you know, then converts him, then that's serious, because he is the man, right?
Also, by the time he's very old, Maharaj, because he and Nilambar Chakravarti, Lord Chaitanya's maternal grandfather, both studied together. They were like friends.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's very old, so automatically he is the one.
And it'll come up in the past that he was supposed to be Lord Chaitanya's teacher in Navadvip.
Wow.
Right? Because he's actually Brihaspati. Yes. But then, somehow or another, by bad association, he got distracted into impersonalism. So then he studied under. Who's it?
Gandhanayan.
No. No, here in Mayapur.
In Mayapur. Gangadas
Pandit? Are you sure? Isn't it the Vidyavachaspati?
Two are there. Two teachers.
Oh, okay. So he had to study from them.
Yes.
Then after he went to Puri, yes. You know, like that, and then when he was there, then he went to save his teacher. Right? He's supposed to be the teacher. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "My dear Gopinath Acharya, please speak with great care. What is the proof that you have received the mercy of the Lord?" Right? So if you're understanding, because what you're saying is you can't understand unless you've received the mercy of the Lord. You're saying that Sarvabhauma hasn't received the mercy of the Lord, therefore he doesn't know. And his being able to say this, and that he is the Supreme Lord, what mercy? How is it you receive the mercy that you know?
Mm.
So he says here, with great care, you should speak this. Don't
also
just
because in-laws, then there is that kind of taunting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They're brother-in-laws. So someone's married to the other one's sister.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, it's just natural. They harass each other. So. So Gopinath Acharya's sister is married to Sarvabhauma?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Yeah, because that way he can harass more. Because it's his sister. Okay. Gopinath Acharya replied, "Knowledge of the summum bonum, the absolute truth, is evidence of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Despite directly perceiving the symptoms of the Supreme Lord in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you cannot understand him." So just that knowledge that you have in itself is evidence that the mercy is there. Because if you see, you know, scripture describes the qualities or the symptoms. You see those and understand this is the Lord. That means you have the mercy.
Yes.
But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has seen these symptoms and has not come to that conclusion. Therefore, no mercy. This is commonly called illusion. A person influenced by the external energy is called Bahirmukha Jana, a mundane person, because despite his perception, he cannot understand the real substance. Hearing Gopinath Acharya say this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya smiled and began to speak as follows. "We are just having a discussion among friends and considering the points described in the scriptures. Do not become angry. I am simply speaking on the strength of the Shastras. Please don't make any offense. Please don't take any offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was certainly a great, uncommon devotee, but we cannot accept him as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu because, according to Shastra, there is no incarnation in this age of Kali, right? Because even if he saw that the symptoms are there, and it would point to him being the Supreme Lord, because of the verses that say he's only in Tri-Yuga, therefore it can't be the Supreme Lord, right? So that's his argument, right? It means his disciples aren't catching that one. But another name for Lord Vishnu is Tri-Yuga because there is new incarnation of Lord Vishnu called Yuga. Indeed, this is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. Upon hearing this, Gopinath Acharya became very unhappy. He said to the Bhattacharya, "You consider yourself the knower of all Vedic scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata are the two most important Vedic scriptures, yet you have paid no attention to their statements. There is certainly an incarnation in every age, and such an incarnation is called the Yuga Avatar. But your heart has become so hardened by logic and argument that you cannot consider all these facts." Gopinath Acharya continued, "There is no need to quote so much evidence from the Shastra, for you are a very dry speculator. There is no need to sow seeds in barren land. When the Lord will be pleased with you, you will also understand these conclusions and will quote from the Shastras. The false arguments and philosophical word jugglery of your disciples are not faults of theirs. They have simply received the benediction of Mayavad philosophy." Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 672, 109. Gopinath Acharya concludes this polemic against dry scholarship by citing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. "In almost all cases, whatever learned Brahmins speak becomes accepted. Nothing is impossible for one who takes shelter of my illusory energy and speaks under her influence." Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.4. Kali is the most corrupt age. And when even lesser demigods avoid visiting the earth, right? So even they don't come down here. Right? His nature as Bhagavan is made clear with the rest of the description. He is seen at all times with innumerable great devotees. Sangha from Garuda, Varendra, Suma, parts of Bengal, and Utkala, Orissa. No, that's not Garuda, Gouda. Okay. Gouda, Varendra, and Suma are parts of Bengal. These all three. Is that? Yes?
Gouda is Varendra, I don't understand.
Okay. And Suma?
Suma is, I think, parts of Bengal.
Okay. Maybe another place. It is also, you have to remember, in those days, you didn't have east and west.
Yeah.
It was all one, so. Maybe Borishal is, you know, something. No? No one from Borishal? We're all good? Okay. "They are identified as his limbs, Anga, because they are most attractive, like the Lord himself. They are identified as his ornaments, Upangas, because they have great powers, like gems. They are identified as his weapons, because they are always with him. They are his associates." Oh, weapons. These are his associates, Parshadam. Or, he always exists with his associates, Parshadam, like a Dvaita who are like his limbs, his ornaments or his weapons, since they are the source of the greatest prema. How do they worship this form of the Lord? They worship using the ingredients of worship, yajyai. Na yatra vaikunta kata sudha paga, na sadavo bhagavatas tada shrayaha. Na tatra yagyesha maka mahotsava suresha lokopi na vai sa sevyatam. Even Brahma Loka should not be accepted as a residence if there are no rivers of sweet topics about the Lord, no devotees who take shelter of those topics, and no great festivals or sacrifices. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.23. In other words, no situation in the material world is of any value if there isn't these aspects of hearing and chanting and about the Lord and the association of the devotees. Okay. The ingredients of worship are described. The worship is predominated by singing about Krishna, experiencing joy by that singing in a huge group of people. The Abhideya is clearly indicated that by showing that the devotees constantly worship the Lord mainly by Sankirtana. Balarev Vidyabhushan's commentary. Vritti. So this also is then us here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Srila Balarev Vidyabhushan starts his commentary with the following prayers. May I have rati continually for the bhava, May I have rati continually for the tattva in the form of Chaitanya endowed with eternal bliss, non-different from himself. For Chaitanya, who is named the deliverer of the universe, the supervisor of Dharma, and who bestows satisfaction just by having a shadow of devotion to him. So just by a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
May the son called Ananda Tirtha, Madhvacharya, who thoroughly destroyed the deep darkness of Mayavad philosophy by a shower of rays in the form of words from the Veda, by whom devotion to Vishnu was revealed to the world, remain ever victorious. I offer respects to the excellent Rupa and Sanatan, the most learned persons on earth, who are the sun and moon against the massive darkness created by Mayavad philosophy, and who showed the tattva called Govinda like a jewel in the hand, and to those feet, and to whose feet Lakshmi surrenders, or whose feet are the color of a blue lotus. May Jiva, who clarified by the nectar of his words the position of the great Lord Krishna, whose glory was hidden by the whole of Vaivartavad, by the dirt of faulty logic, and by the mud of Shankya philosophy, be my shelter. So now this is him here?
This is him.
Huh? Yeah. Now we're talking, okay. Mm-hmm. Since people out of laziness will not be included in a inclined to a large work, this commentary on the profound Sandarbha has been made brief. Okay. Saying it as it is. The versions of verses which were corrected in the Sandarbha by Jiva will be explained, and not other versions which were disapproved by him. Right, so only those approaches to the verses that Jiva Goswami himself supports, only that line then he's going to explain. He's not going to go into detail about how others have other ideas and go into all that. Because whatever has been explained and needed to be, Jiva Goswami's done that. Otherwise, so many people have so many comments. So he's not going to get into that, because otherwise the work will become too large, and because of laziness, then we won't be inclined. Right? The Supreme Lord Vasudeva, or Vyasadeva, having revealed Brahma Sutras and its commentary, Bhagavatam, then taught the Bhagavatam to Sukadeva. Desiring to clarify the meaning, Jiva invokes auspiciousness in this verse, which points out his object of worship, a cloud of treasured nectar, an axe for chopping mountains of opposing arguments. Being axed by King Nimi, Karnabhajana Yogi spoke about the avatars for Satya, Treta, and Dwapara Yuga, saying, quote, hear about the avatar for Kali Yuga, end quote. He then spoke this verse. Intelligent people worship the Lord even in Kali Yuga. By what means do they worship? They worship the Lord by Sankirtana, which is a type of Archana, Yajyahi. Who is that Lord? His interior is the form, Varna, of Krishna. He is not black over by his effulgence, Trisha, because before it said that he's Trisha Krishna, but his golden effulgence. So because of that, then you don't see the blackish color. Because he's taking the color, I mean that effulgence of Radharani. Does that make sense? You know, it's like that one time, I think Krishna was sitting there, and Radharani came along, and it was Krishna, you know, just dressed as Krishna, and everything is Krishna. But he was golden colored. So Radharani, and then when Radharani came and he knew he was there, he went back to his regular color. So she asked about that, and so he explained about Lord Chaitanya. Right? Because the point is when he is absorbed in her mood, he takes on that color. So it's not that he's not blackish, it's just that because he's in that mood, he takes on that color. He is not black, however, by his effulgence, Trisha. Garga said, Shuklo raktastata pita idanim krishnatam gataha. The Lord has come in white, red, and yellow colors, and now has come in black color. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.13. The remaining color of these is pita, golden, like lightning, since Krishna is black, and the white and red avatars have already appeared. His angas are Nityananda and Advaita. His upangas are Srivas and others. His weapons are the names of the Lord, since the names cut down ignorance. His associates, Parshuram, are Garadhar, Govinda, and others. In their company, the Lord becomes powerful. That is the indication. Mm-hmm. When Garga spoke of the avatars, he spoke of a past form, which was yellow, rather than a future form. The present form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in the Kali Yuga of the 28th cycle of Yugas in Vaivasvata Manvantara of Svetavaraha Kalpa, present day of Brahma. Oh, so we're in Svetavaraha Kalpa. Oh, okay. The Dharma of Lord Chaitanya is indicated in that period of time in Garga's words. In other Kali Yugas, other than the 28th cycle in Vaivasvata Manvantara, it is said that Lord Krishna appears sometimes in blackish color and sometimes green like a parrot feather. Footnote 8. Jiva has already mentioned the Lord in other Dwapara Yugas with green color. If he appears in Kali Yuga in greenish color, this would make two green avatars in succession. Baladeva also mentions the Kali Yuga avatar to be black or green in his commentary on Lagu Bhagavatam Gita. So, as he pleases. Itam nri tiryag rishi deva jasa vatarer lokan vibha vayasi hamsi jagat pratipan dharmam maha purusha pashi yuga nu vrittam channa kalu kalau tad abhavas tri yugo ta sattvam. In this way, by appearing in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a devata, a fish, or a tortoise, you maintain the worlds. Kill those who cause disturbance, and protect Dharma in all the yugas. Great Lord, since you appear covered in Kali Yuga, you are called Triyuga. So it's not that he doesn't appear, it's just that he's in a covered form. Therefore, then he's called Triyuga. Because the others, it's obvious he's the Supreme Lord. Everybody, you know, knows that. Asan varnas trayo yasya grinato nu yugam tanu shuklo raktas tata pita idanim krishnatam gataha. Your son Krishna appeared in previous yugas according to the avatar he worshipped, with three different colors, white, red, and yellow. Now he's appeared in a blackish color, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.13. Iti dvapara urvisha stuvanti jagadishvaram nana tatra vidhanena kalavapi tata shrinu. O king, in this way, people in Dvapara Yuga glorified the Lord of the universe. Now kindly hear about the form in Kali Yuga, worship through methods of worship explained in various Pancharatra scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.31. Those who carefully reflect are called intelligent, Sumedha Saha. Channa means that his black color is covered by the effulgence of Radha. So that's the covering.
We see that this both commentaries, Prabhupada explained already in that verse 10.8.13, because I put the whole purport of the verse. Mm. Actually, the whole summary of this both commentaries
is there. Yes,
is there
we'll
in that verse.
Yeah, Prabhupada. That's why when Prabhupada says everything's in the books, he literally means that. Then, so we study the commentaries of the acharyas to understand Prabhupada's purports. Because he already has given the essence. Because others may study the acharya's commentaries and come up with all kinds of, you know, strange and wonderful conclusions. But you can't get that with Prabhupada's purports. So, some technical points that Prabhupada's talking about, but because he's not using technical language, we may not catch that. So by studying the Acharyas who are using the technical points, then we see that Prabhupada's already talking about that. So that's the whole point, is that you approach the previous Acharyas through your Acharya. And then the fun part here, because he's the founder Acharya, then the previous Acharya's points, then you're able to understand the founder Acharya. And only by the founder Acharyas can you understand them. So by reading Prabhupada's purports, then you can appreciate what the Acharyas are saying, so then you can appreciate more what Prabhupada's, the depth of what Prabhupada's saying. Okay.
So, it's complete.
Yes, it's complete. So that's why the two go along. We're studying Prabhupada's works, which is given the main basis of the course, and then along with the Acharya's works as that supplementary study, or as the analytical study. So it does both the aspect of the analytical, but it also, by that, we're able to appreciate what Prabhupada's saying. Then when you, like now, if with this kind of understanding is technical, now if you read Gita, you'll see in the purports, Prabhupada's making all these technical points, but just in such easily accessible language. So in other words, what you saw of Gita when we first started, and what you would see by now, then, because it's one topic, Gita, so it's being spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Kapila Gita is the same thing being spoken, but now with more technical points. And then Uddhava Gita is the same thing again spoken with a further understanding.
Yes. Use the essence of all Bhagavatam shlokas and Bhagavad Gita purports.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you have to, if it's the basis, that means all the philosophy has to be there. Because generally in the modern context, the when you do have the first book or the basis, it's not actually the content. Let's say if we're talking about language, then the basis will be, okay, we learn the letters, we learn vocabulary, we learn handwriting. And we'll call that the basis. Then we'll go on to grammar, and the different writing skills and all these different things, But in that first part, you don't know, so it just is progressing through, and then you're going to be good at it, and that, and whether you'll ever be shown what is communication, that may or may not happen. But the Vedic context, as you see by the Amangalacharan, you open with that point, what it actually is. So Gita means, whatever philosophy is given in Gita, there is no more philosophy. There's not more philosophy in Vedanta Sutra and the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Upanishads. It's all there. Just it's given in the simplest form so that we can grasp and then be able to work in the field. But for one who knows, it's all there, and so it's not that there's anything lacking. So the more you know, the more you gain from reading Gita. That's why Shankaracharya said you only need one book. That by studying this book alone, even if you have no other book, you'll be able to understand the philosophy. And then if you want to be able to, the purpose of the philosophy is come to that position of love of Godhead. And so therefore then I think Krishna's covered. No, who it says? Someone points out that if their book is there except Bhagavatam, then everything's already there because it has all the basics. But now you get all the other things, and I think the same has been said about Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if all other, then you have all the philosophy because it's very philosophical, and you have all the rasa and the pastimes and all the purpose that is being given in the Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why if you have these books, then that is complete. Then the Abhideya of these three books, that's given in Nectar Devotion. That makes sense. And the essence of the philosophy in Upanishadic form is in the Ishvapanishad. And the essence of the Nectar Devotion, so just in case you get distracted, is in Upadeshamrita. So that's why that's the main body of the course. These are just the essence. Okay. But the interesting thing is that, Anucheda 2. Anta Krishnam Bahir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vaibhavam Kalau Sankirtanad Yaisma Krishna Chaitanyam Ashritah. by means of Sankirtana in Kali Yuga. The people take shelter of Krishna Chaitanya, who is internally Krishna and externally golden, and who showed his powers by means of his limbs and associates. Anucheda Prakashika. Explaining the meaning of the previous verse, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the reason why they surrendered to him. Sarva Samvadini. After ascertaining all of this, the author praises Chaitanya as the most excellent goal. Sarvabhauma, the crest jewel of the learned, has said, Kalan nashtam bhakti yogam nijam ya pradush kartum krishna chaitanya nama avir bhutas tasya padara vinde garam garam lilaya liyatam chitta bringaha. May the bees of our minds thoroughly lick the lotus feet of the Lord named Krishna Chaitanya, who appeared in this world to reveal Bhakti Yoga, which has been lost through time. Okay, Adhikarna 2, Ashirvadam, Anuchedas 3 through 5, Adhikarna Prakashika. In the third Anucheda, Jiva Goswami seeks blessings of his teacher, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, who are the preceptors of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. This verse serves as both the Ashirvada and the Namaskara. In fourth and fifth verses, he offers homage to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, crediting him as the original author of the work. Anucheda 3. Because Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he seems to be that there would be some work to be made, and he would compile all the verses and all the relevant, you know, all the resource work. Mm-hmm. And then from that, then Jiva Goswami then edited it, put together as the Satsandarbhas. Also said that Hari Bhakti Vilas, it was the same. He collected all the information, then Sanatana Goswami put it together in the book, as we know, Hari Bhakti Vilas. So it seems to be. And then he wrote his own books. Anucheda 3. Jayatam Mathura Bhumau Srila Rupa Sanatanao Yau Vile Kayatas Tattvam Gyapakau Pushtikam Imam. Glory to Rupa and Sanatana, who, revealing the Lord and his associates for the people of the future, had this book written in the land of Mathura. Sarva Samvadini. Rupa and Sanata had this book written in order to reveal Jnana Pakau Tattva Krishna. So in other words, they gave the direction. Yeah. And then Jiva Goswami, yeah, then with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, then they put it together. Sri Baladev commentary. The author offers respects in the form of giving blessings. May Rupa and Sanatan, who are endowed with the wealth of knowledge and renunciation and austerity, Srila, who are Guru and Paramaguru, manifest their excellence, Jayatam, in the land of Mathura. This indicates that they are the masters of this land. He blesses them to remain excellent there. The word Jayatam also indicates that all others at that place have excellence. But because these two are the source of that excellence, by offering respects to the two, respects are offered to all others. Since others are included in them, he offers respects to these two. The two are described. They have inspired me to write this work called the Sandarbha, since the work can only be accomplished by great intelligence. They revealed Tattva, the Lord, to Jiva. According to Vishwakosha, Tattva means a kind of philosophy, the real nature of an object or Paramatma. They reveal to him the Supreme Lord along with his associates. The word Gyapakau makes the accusative Tattvam, takes the accusative Tattvam, instead of the locative, according to Panini 2370, when it indicates the future. Anucheda 4. Yeah, because it's also, he's going to write the book, so he's opening this. And so they've given the blessings that then this work will be. He may have it described in the past, but it's by their grace the book will be able to be written. Right? So it's not that he writes the book and then goes back and writes this. They write this, then write the book.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay, stand here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.